Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey, we've got one of those real conversations today and how our faith impacts our finances. I mean, it should influence that, right? We want to be focused, good stewards of all the resources that we know, doesn't come from us, right? All comes from the Lord. So we're going to talk today about being wise stewards and just getting some practical advice on money. Came across this quote here today. It said, "The only exercise I've done this month so far is run out of money." All right? Maybe you can relate. Someone said, most stress is caused by three things, family, money, and family with no money. I like this. Warren Buffett said, if you buy things you don't need, soon you'll have to sell the things you do need. Maybe you've been on that road as well. William Ward Ayer says, if you live within your income, you'll be without many things, the most important of which is worry. We're going to talk today from someone who is been there, done that on sort of all levels with years of experience of getting out of debt and has now founded and published Debt Proof Living, formerly Cheapskate Monthly. Mary Hunt is back with us on the show today. In fact, Cheapskate, I was noticing a quote from Mary, said, has a balanced, honest, and dignified approach to money management. It's someone who doesn't spend more than they earn or let money and material possessions rule their thoughts and desires. A cheapskate does not buy on impulse. And we're not just necessarily going to talk about buying, but certainly there are expenses that we have to take care of. So we're going to get to all that and more. And we're going to open up the phone lines as well. I've got a few various resources from Mary Hunt. She's written some 26 books. We've got a few of them here. We'll do a drawing here, give away some at the top of the hour. So if you would use some help in the area of maybe getting out of debt or just planning for retirement or any of those things, you give us a call. And love to have you join the program as well. Let me introduce Mary to us. We love every opportunity we have to talk with her. She's, again, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living. And she has the monthly newsletter, Personal Finance Tools, has thousands of subscribers. Her books have sold more than a million copies. Her syndicated daily newspaper column is enjoyed by hundreds of thousands every week, of which I'm a faithful reader. And she's an award-winning author of some 26 books. One of her most recent was called Live Your Life for Half the Price. She says it's the money you don't spend that ultimately gives you the freedom to live the life you love. Well, Mary, we love having you on with us. Thanks so much for coming back on Connecting Faith.
Hi, Neil. So great to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I thought a freedom. We just celebrated freedom early this week, and that financial freedom should be something we can celebrate and work toward. And sadly, not there's a lot of people that aren't there. And I don't know if I didn't think about asking you about statistics, but we know nationally we have pretty high federal debt. That's probably the same for individuals too, isn't it?
It's terrible, Neil. You know, the recent statistics, and I'm not sure how these are arrived at. I mean, no one comes around and asks me about my personal finance for their survey, but, you know, what we're being told is that some 75% of American homes, by their own admission, are now living from one paycheck to the next. What that means to me is that they're spending every bit of one paycheck and then just white-knuckling it until they get the next one. That means nothing's going into savings, nothing's going into planning for the future. Nothing is being set aside to be there in case of emergencies. And that's what gets us every time, those emergencies. Because if we haven't saved any money, if we haven't put anything aside, the refrigerator goes out, or the car needs tires, or a child needs to go to the emergency room and there's a deductible that needs to be paid, or something like that. What do? Run to the credit cards, and that's what's keeping, I believe, Americans so bound up and enslaved to debt. It's an awful way to live.
Well, I know, even as you've told your story many times about, I mean, you use credit cards almost as a way, maybe just of, kind of making life better, and a lot of people do that too, right? It's sort of shopping to feel good, and just assuming that there wouldn't be any issues, right?
Well, you know, for me, Neil, it was really terrible. You know, I tell people I come from a very dark financial past, and it's true, and I need to remember it. You know, I need to go back and to recall, just like God tells us we're supposed to go back and look in our lives where He has done great things and remember those things that He has done for us. I think it's good also to remember from where we've come so that we don't go back there. But you're right. In my early years, I would say those 12 years after I got married, was deadly. I had what I call ugly attitudes of entitlement. I believed not only that the income my husband made, he was a banker, you know? It wasn't just a little minimum wage job. I felt like all of that income was mine in order to create the best lifestyle I could, plus all of our credit limits, and I was bent on getting as many credit cards as I could. All of that then was also our income and mine to spend. Where I ever got that? Well, I probably got it from the consumer credit industry, who wants all of us to believe that we don't have to save money, that we don't have to worry about emergencies, that our credit cards, all of those lines of credit, are our emergency funds. And boy, when you start thinking that way, you can have emergency every single day of your life. We had a couple big ones, and their names are Jeremy and Joshua. You know, children come into your lives, and all of a sudden, you've got big expenses. And so we start looking to all of these resources that our society, that the culture has told us belong to us in order to use, and we're encouraged to do that. That's a terrible way to start thinking.
Fortunately, you were able to turn it around, and you've written a lot about that in some of your 26 books, and it really boils down to several kind of key money rules, and maybe we can touch on those as we go along. We also want to just talk about some practical issues as well, and we want to open up the phone lines as well. So if you have a question, I mean, talking money, just ways to save some money, or you know, anything financial, you can join in. Give us a call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or if you want to submit your question via email, you can go to myfaithradio.com. That's our webpage, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's a little email link right there, and we'll get that right into the studio. Mary, you want to, you know, start, want to take a summer vacation, or maybe we've already taken one, but we haven't planned well or saved for it. You know, can we still take a vacation?
Oh, I think anyone can if they're willing to adjust their attitude. You know, erase that word, those two words called Disney World. Now we're not going there. You might even want to erase anywhere other than your own hometown. How about having a staycation instead of going away? Stay home. But just change your attitude. I've written about this, and it's probably one of the most fun responses I get from people when they start realizing that they really can stay home. Just change everything up about your life. You know, make some rules. No phones. We're not going to have any phones for the next 3 days. We're going to pitch a tent in the backyard. We're going to get out our bicycles. We're going to go online. We're going to Google the name of our town. Where do you live, Neil? What's the name of
your city? St. Paul. Yeah.
St. Paul. Yeah. So you go to Google and you put in St. Paul and the plus sign, tourist. Oh, my goodness, what you're going to find out. You're going to find things in your town that you don't even know about because, you know, it's too ordinary. You live there. You're going to find coupons. You're going to find all kinds of activities and events that local merchants and so on are trying to get tourists to come and visit them. So look at that. Look at biking, hiking trails, you know, pack a picnic. Make a rule that we're going to sleep in. We're going to stay up as late as we want every night. We're going to watch movies and make popcorn. We're going to sleep in the living room. You know, Daddy's not going to go work. We're not going to go to work at all. We're going to stay home. We're not going to answer the door. It can go on and on of all the fun things you can do to change it up. Because remember, vacation, all that means is to vacate your regular way of life. Do it differently. And you start thinking like that, you'll come up with all kinds of fun ideas, and it should not cost you any money, at least no more money than it would cost you just to be home regularly.
It does sound appealing because I think we all, you know, it's so easy to say, well, we'll pay for that later. But, I mean, it later always comes with a price called interest, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I have this theory that a family on vacation, the parents rarely are. That's a lot of work. If you pack an RV or you have to, you know, go several hundred miles to a national park, I mean, those are all great, wonderful things. But sometimes it's expensive, not only in cash, but also in energy and you come home feeling exhausted, you know, maybe staying home for a few days, just changing it up would be very appealing. I'm kind of liking the idea myself.
It does sound kind of good, actually. All right. Well, you know, one of the things I guess maybe we need to address is that there's, I guess, an attitude, and you sort of touched on it, that we, you know, no matter what our income might be, we still, you know, deserve things. And so, we don't want to withhold anything from us. And, you know, holding back, reserving, that's always kind of hard to do. Any recommendations? How do we maybe change our mindset about those things?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that we have to come to the point to realize that what we've been doing is not working. I mean, that, how far I had to get into that situation is unbelievable. For me to finally surrender and say, I can't live this way anymore. And to realize that I am God's child. He's given me a mind. He has promised to meet our needs. I need to start growing up and to realize that everything comes from Him. None of this is mine. God wants us to be a steward. That's called a manager. He brings a paycheck into your life. He expects you to learn how to manage it. And, you know, God's word is very clear on it. If He can't trust us with little, He will never be able to trust us with more. And those whom He can trust, He wants to trust and to give them more, to be better stewards, to manage it well. So for me, it starts with an attitude, a promise to myself. Everything that comes into my life, and I'm talking about every single person, whether it's a teenager, whether it's a stay-at-home mom, whether it's a single parent, there is some money over which you have control. It might be the grocery money. It might be the entire paycheck. It might be a trust fund. I'm not certain of what that might be for each person listening to us, but I can tell you that if you will take a mindset that whatever comes into my life, I'm going to put aside part of it. I'm not going to touch it. Before anything else in my life, I'm going to save some. That is a life-changing new way of life. And even if you only start with $1, you know, out of that grocery money I have for this week that I can barely make stretch, I'm going to take $1, I'm going to put it away, and it's not to be spent. It is to be saved. And next week, maybe make it $2. Maybe if your paycheck comes in and your paycheck is for $1,200 this week, whatever it is, determine before you even think about spending any of it, just take some and set it away. That is going to be a life-changing new attitude and activity in your life. And it's like a catalyst, I promise.
Mary Hunt is my guest today. Mary's award-winning, best-selling author, the founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living. Books have sold millions of copies. She's got a daily newspaper column, Everyday Cheapskate. She's with us today on Connecting Faith. We're going to take a quick break and come back and get to some phone calls. We'll talk about, you know, kids needing clothes for the school year. Any ideas there? We'll talk about eating healthy, but maybe eating for less. Get into some of those other issues, the big ticket items, and got a few calls coming in as well. We do have some resources from Mary to give away, so you can call and sign up for that. You have a question, love to have you join the program. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Talking money with Mary Hunt. More in a moment.
Speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm not gonna worry. He's got the whole thing in his hand.
Those kind of seem like money and worry sort of go hand in hand sometimes. Well, we're talking about getting a fresh perspective on money. And one of Mary Hunt's great books is called Live Your Life for Half the Price. You know, we work hard for money and we know we should save some. It seems like every month there's something that comes up, sets back our best laid plans. We're getting some wise advice on that. And we invite you to join in the conversation. We've got Emily calling in from Foster, Minnesota with a question for Mary Hunt. Go ahead, Emily. Thanks for the call.
Hi. So my husband and I recently put an offer in on a house, and our offer was accepted, and so we were just going through the process of we were pre-approved for a loan and just finalizing that, and just, I guess, a little nervous about, as we've been going through the paperwork, just seeing that it's the monthly payments might be a little more expensive than we had kind of when we initially first looked at if we could afford a house or not, and just kind of wondering if we still can. And so,
yeah, how do we decide, I guess, what we can afford, Mary? That's a big ticket item.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you a few questions, Emily? Is this your first home that you're buying?
Yes.
And how much down payment are you putting down?
We are going to put down, like, percentage-wise, or just, like,
Is it an FHA loan? Is it a private loan? Do you know?
It's just a conventional loan.
Are you putting down, like, 20%?
We can't put down 20%, but it's going to be, like, 13 or 15%.
Okay.
Okay.
And how does that big number, and I'm so happy you're looking at that now and not later, how does that compare to what you're paying now for rent?
Well, our rent is $450 a month, and, like, I guess the proposed monthly payment, including
taxes,
like,
and insurance.
Mortgage insurance and taxes and such.
Right.
It says $1,155. So
say it again. How much?
$1,155.
So it's almost three times what you're paying now. Let me ask you another question. How much are you guys normally saving every month when you're paying the $450 rent?
I'm not sure exactly how much we're saving off the top of my head. Now, the number I give you, the $1,155, is, like, they have a projected loan, which is more than what we'd be taking out of. So the way it works out, we're actually going in at 1 o'clock today to meet with the loan person and ask about, because our loan, what we'd want, would not be for us that much. So
okay. Well,
let me give you some guidelines. Yeah. Let me give you some guidelines, Emily. This is going to be a shock to you when you buy a home because there are so many other hidden expenses, some of them that you've just mentioned. When you said mortgage insurance, a lot of people don't realize what that is. That's not insurance against for your mortgage, like if someone dies or you need help with it. What that is that protects the lender because you're putting less than 20% down. That is a big, big number. That's a huge number every month. So that is going to make your payment really high. Once you have 20% equity in the home, depending on the type of loan you have, you may be able to get rid of that, but you can't count on that going in. I'm real nervous about you having an $1,150 monthly requirement when you're used to paying $450. That says to me that you better be in the mindset right now and the habit of saving maybe $600 or $700 every single month, because otherwise, where's that money going to come from? I can tell you, there's a horrible feeling to get over your head into a house that you cannot afford. So I really want you and your husband to sit down and look at this, at your numbers. Are you going to be able to do this? Here's a rule of thumb that you should probably consider: 30% of your gross income. So, for instance, if your gross income is $4,000 a month, 30% would be, oh, come on, Neil, help me, about $1,500?
Yeah.
Maybe
let's go with that. Yeah.
Right.
Let's go with that.
$1,200 could be go to your housing. But if you're only bringing in, like, your gross income is maybe $2,400 a month, then you're going to do half, 50%. You're going to be in trouble before you can even get to your first year. That's just the way money works. Now let me tell you another little secret. Your mortgage lender, your realtor, all of these people in your life, they honestly, truly are not thinking about you and your best interest. They're thinking about getting this thing approved. They're thinking about getting all of this underwritten. So you have to not depend on them to make your decisions. You have to look at your very own situation. Now's the time to be really, really careful. And I would say if these feelings you have can be normal. We call them buyer's remorse, you know? But also, I think that God speaks to us through our feelings, through our emotions, through our anxiety sometimes, through our feelings of contentment and joy. So I would really ask you, too, to pray and ask God to really lead you through this thing, give you peace, give you feeling of confidence. And if you're feeling just the other way, I'd really look at that as well. But then look at those numbers, that 30% figure. That's a good rule of thumb, and you might want to check that against what you're going to be learning when you go to meet with them.
Because the mortgage comes out on the top, right? I mean, there's that's one of those fixed expenses. You can't
Can't
spend less one month than the next on that one.
That's right. It's a fixed. The good thing is that you can count on it. You know exactly what's going to be every month. But, Emily, I don't want to be, a downer on this and to throw a wet blanket. I want you to see the real, true picture. Because I've been in a situation where we were in over our head, and it's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you, Emily, for that call. And, a good timing to visit, get some good insight. You know, we always hear, though, Mary, that, well, it's so much a better value than renting. Of course, rents are very high these days. It's a good investment, but there are some costs involved, aren't there?
Yes, it certainly is true. And housing is becoming a real it's a puzzle how prices can be going up so fast. So that if Emily and her husband can get in at this time, that would be a fantastic thing. I hope they've got some good counsel, some people who have some experience in life and in owning homes and so forth to help them.
Yeah. We've got a couple minutes here, I guess about a minute before we take a break, but that's one of those big ticket items, other maybe big ticket items, cars, appliances, those things. Can you save enough ahead of time to really handle those when they come up, when you need one?
Well, there are ways to do that if you're willing to make sacrifice on the front end. And I love to help people figure that one out, especially how to buy a car for all cash. It's one of my favorite things to teach people. Maybe we can talk about that in the next segment.
That sounds good. I don't know. Doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound like the American way somehow. Mary.
I'm not sure. I'm a rebel.
Oh, all right. We love it. Mary Hunt the Rebel is with us today, and she knows what she speaks. Mary is award-winning, best-selling author, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living, and which formerly Cheapskate Monthly. She does a national column, daily newspaper column called Everyday Cheapskate, and it's read by hundreds of thousands of people, of which I am a big fan. We've got a couple of resources from Mary Hunt to give away. So if you appreciate her wise advice, I hope that you'll give us a call. Maybe you have a question. You can join in at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or drop us a note online, myfaithradio.com. Go to the Connecting Faith Show page. Use the email link and submit your question. So, can we buy a car with all cash? Is that possible today? Mary Hunt will tell us how in 2 minutes. Stay tuned. God's faithful in all, each and every situation, circumstances. He calls us to be faithful as well with the resources he's entrusted to us. We're faithful with a little, we can be trusted with more. Mary Hunt understands that principle well, has written many books about it. She's some 26 books, including 7 Money Rules for Life, Live Your Life for Half the Price, Debt Proof Living. In fact, she's founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living, and she's with us today here on Connecting Faith. And we were talking just before the break about buying a car for cash, and we're not thinking a clunker, Mary, right? Or is that how it starts? So give us
we love the word clunker. We love that word.
Yeah.
You want to know how you can buy a brand new car of your choice for all cash?
I'm liking the idea. All right.
Okay. Neil, you're going to be my example, my volunteer from the audience.
Okay.
All right. I'd like you to come up here to the stage and tell everyone, just give me a number. If you were to, think that you need to go get a new car or even a used car, what is the monthly payment that you could handle at this time? Give me a number and make it realistic.
Okay. $300.
Okay. And right now you have some kind of a car that you're driving, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be a new one. It might, it might need a paint job. Might have a cracked windshield. That's probably not illegal, but what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a dog. It's a clunker.
Yeah.
And they've told you that you're going to have to pour a lot of money into it in the next year or so if you plan to keep it, okay?
Yeah.
Starting this month, you can afford this $300 because you, on your good days, you're ready to go out and buy a car and come up with a $300 payment. I want you to make a commitment to me and to yourself that right now, for now on, the rest of your life, you're going to pay $300 to yourself, your automatic car payment. Because we know if we live in this country, you cannot drive for free. It's going to cost you. And it's usually in a car payment, but there are other costs as well. So I want you to build this into your current budget, $300. It would be great if you could set it up as an automatic savings plan right out of your paycheck. But you can figure this out. You know how to do this. $300 a month, okay? Keep driving this clunker. At the end of 1 year, you're going to have in the bank how much?
$3,600, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Those payments. And you may have even a little bit of interest. You're certainly not going to pay any interest. All that money now is in your car fund. What I want you to do, all right, here's the plan. You're going to take that clunker. It lasted for another year, and isn't that wonderful? I want you to sell it for the most money you possibly can. Now, it's a clunker. You may have to sell it to the junkyard. I'm not sure. But I promise if it runs, you can get at least $500 for it. Okay? So take that $3,600 plus the $500 equals $4,100. I want you to go buy the very best clunker you can find for $4,100, a little bit better than what you just sold. Don't get anything in your head like it's got to have four doors, it's got to have air conditioning, whatever. The best you can do, say $4,000, you'll have $100 there to play with. You're going to keep doing this. At the end of the second year, you'll have how much in your savings account?
Another
$3,600. Yeah. So you're going to sell your second clunker. Maybe you can get $3,500 for it. You're going to match that with the $36, and all of a sudden you have $7,100, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
So you're going to go buy the best clunker you can for $7,000. Now you're kind of into this. Every year you're buying and selling, selling and buying. At the next year, you'll sell your $7,000 clunker for maybe $6,000. And you're going to take the $3,600, put it with it, and you will now have $9,600. Is that right?
Yeah.
My mind and math don't do well.
That's right.
Continue doing this. At the end of 5 years, you will have a tremendous amount of cash. And you will probably have, if you keep doing this for another couple of years, what's going to happen is you will have the option to go out and buy a brand new car. Now, it might be a $20,000 car, but you will have $20,000 to pay for it. And you know what? I bet you don't do it. Because by now you will have learned the value of buying late model, previously owned cars that they've lost their depreciation, and so you're going to be able to pick them up for so much less. Besides, now you're kind of like it's become your hobby to buy and sell cars. You feel real comfortable with it. And that's the way to do it. And I would suggest that anybody in the right mind who drives needs to be continually putting money aside for the next car. What this means is you're saving first and buying later. Instead of the car dealers and the manufacturers making all this money off of you, leaving you with 7 years of payments on a car that may not even be running by the time you get it paid for, you put yourself into a win-win situation.
Yeah. That saving first is such a, that's so countercultural, isn't it, in every area of life.
You know why? Because what I've just described is cut out Citibank and Chase and American Express and all of the credit card companies and all of the merchants who want you to do the easy 36 months on the furniture and all of that. You're cutting all that out.
But I get
You're
points,
not paying
Mary.
Any of those fees.
I get points on my card, though.
Well,
isn't that what people
great.
Say?
You know what? You you've got to spend an awful lot to get those points.
That's true.
Just wish people would sit down and figure out what those points actually cost them. Because I can promise you there's not a credit card company or bank in the world that's going into their pocket to, to reward you. They're making money off of you.
Yes.
I can promise that. And, you know, there are situations where people are able to beat the system in that way. But until you have a home that's completely paid for, you're paying cash for your cars, you're not going into debt, you're saving, you've got a nice investment portfolio, I don't really think you're in a position to be really, you know, living for points and reward miles.
That's true. Good word about, you know, finding your way to getting a car that just makes sense and you do it debt-free. In fact, debt-proof living is what Mary Hunt's been talking about for years and has written some 26 books about it. One of the areas we want to talk about is kids need some clothes for the new school year. Any ideas on kind of keeping that spending in line?
Yes, I have lots of ideas.
I'm ready.
You ready now?
I am.
Oh, I
let's do it.
A break.
Oh, no, let's do it. Yeah.
All right. First of all, I think that the whole retail industry, you know, those stores that sell kids back to school clothes, they have us in a mindset that we have to buy an entire year's worth of clothes for the kids. I can't believe how many parents go out and do that and soak so much money. First of all, the kids are going to grow. Secondly, there's a lot of seasons involved here. Usually kids are going back to school and it's still pretty warm outside.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to be wearing the heavy winter clothes. The next thing is that there are going to be tremendous sales come after Thanksgiving, before Christmas, after Christmas, you know, spring, Easter, all of that. So my recommendation to parents is, number one, buy enough to get through the first month or two of school. If you have to buy. Now, all kids, you know, they love to get new shoes for school. So I would target the schools. Oh, Target. Did I say Target?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might find them there, but you might find them many other places as well. You know, shop around. You're going to be able to find, and kids can still wear sneakers in most areas of the country in August, September, and October. We don't have a lot of cold, snowy weather. So just buy enough to get through the first couple of months. Now, that means your kids are going to get new clothes throughout the year. But tell me what kids don't enjoy that. Then start looking for those sales. Here's another thing, the word consignment. Most areas now have consignment stores. These are stores that sell gently used or even sometimes new clothes that have not sold in the retail. And here's my little secret. Go to the upscale neighborhoods of the cities in which you live, and you're going to find very high-end clothes in those children's boutiques. That's what they call them. They're actually consignment stores that specialize in babies through teen clothes, size clothes. Go shopping there. Take your kids with you. That you won't believe the fantastic bargains that you can get on really, really nice clothes. Another idea for your older children, especially your daughters. I'm thinking of girls in middle school and high school. This is a tough age. You know, they want to have the right clothes with the right brands, with the right this and then that, and it seems like mom and dad's pockets are so deep, there's no end to what they want in very, very expensive clothing. I've got a suggestion for you. Learn to trust your daughters. Now, they need to know what your family rules are and what the school rules are. If there are, you know, dress codes and so on, they need to know this. But come up with a budget of what you're willing to spend for Sally's clothes for the first couple of months for school or back to school. And then do the boldest thing you've ever done in your life. Hand her the money. Put it in an envelope, make it in cash, and say, sweetheart, we are going to trust you to start looking for bargains. This is the money that we have devoted to your back-to-school clothes. Here's what we're going to do. Now, I will go with you if you'd like me to, but you're going to make some buying decisions here. If you buy clothes that you know are not acceptable, that we would never allow our children to wear in our family, that you cannot wear to school, and you decide to spend the money on them anyway, you're going to suffer terribly because not only are you going to lose the clothes, there's not going to be any more money. And so you got to do a little bit of pre-planning. But it will change everything. To see your daughters looking for bargains, shopping sales, looking on the sale rack, not thinking you're the bad guy because you won't spring for the $200 pair of Levi jeans, but putting some of this on to the child, the older child who has a bit of maturity here, you will really help further their financial intelligence and also help to mature them a bit and help them see life through some real eyes here rather than their eyes of being a princess to get everything they need and want.
Good words. Mary, you know, just thinking about, you know, helping their kids be responsible and understanding money. But, your boys have grown. But if we're sending our kids off to school, off to college, maybe for the first time, or they're moving out on their own, is there one or two things that you'd want to send them out with? Say, here's what you really need to know.
Boy, you know, I just hope that there's been some training before you send them out. That's a really tough way to send them. I would first of all warn them about the evils of credit cards and getting into credit card debt and the decisions they make during those first few weeks on college campus could really change the direction of their lives for many, many, many years. So I do a lot of teaching about consumer debt, that the credit card companies, while they've been banned from college campuses, they've found a way to get back there. And students are going to be offered $5,000-$10,000 lines of credit on their very first credit card, and they're going to go absolutely crazy. They're going to go nuts if they've not had any training. So I keep a really, really close eye on that, and I also teach them about the dangers of debit cards, about living below their means, about thinking and tracking their spending. I mean, where's the money going to come from? What about these student loans? Who's going to pay for them? Teaching kids the 7 money rules for life. I don't think you can do that any too early. The first one is you always save some of everything that you receive. You never spend money that you've not yet earned. And so to go out and put a fun weekend on a credit card because you don't have the money is just deadly. Some of these lessons need to be taught before they go. But I would also try to keep the lines of communication open. You know, make sure that your kids feel free to talk to you and ask for counsel and ask for advice before they're in such terrible, horrible trouble they're ready to get thrown out of school because they can't make their school bill. Yeah.
Good words.
That's a big topic. I've written a whole book about it. One of the books is Raising Financially Confident Kids. It starts early. And I say even if you haven't done this, if you've got at least 6 months before those kids leave the nest, I'd do exactly the principle I mentioned about the back-to-school clothes for that older child. You know, stop paying for everything. Don't pay for it. Whatever you've been paying for, stop paying for it. Turn that money over to the child, the student instead. Teach them how to manage it on their own. It'll change their lives. And the sooner you can do that, the sooner you're going to have a much more mature, financially confident kid.
Talking today with Mary Hunt, and we're going to take a quick break and come back with more with Mary just ahead. She's an award-winning, best-selling author, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living. Her books have sold millions of copies. You can read her in her newspaper column, Everyday Cheapskate, and you can join us today with your question at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or drop us a note online, and we've got a couple of online questions we're going to get to as well. Go into myfaithradio.com. and clicking on the Connecting Faith show page and submit your question that way. And we do have some copies of Mary Hunt's books that we're going to give away, so stay tuned for that. So maybe you just need a little more money. Is there something you can do to maybe a home-based business? You know, Mary actually started a home-based business to get her life turned around financially. And so we'll get some advice from Mary Hunt about starting a business at home and just some ways to earn more income. All that coming up in the next few moments here on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith. We connected with Mary Hunt again today. I always loved having the opportunity to chat with her. Mary is an award-winning, best-selling author, founder and publisher of Debt Proof Living. And is it debtproofliving.com? Mary, is that the website?
Yes, that is. That's one of them.
Okay.
But I want the listeners to know about everydaycheapskate.com as well. That's my fun blog site where my daily columns show up there every single day, a weekday. And, you know, people can subscribe to it so you can see me in your email box every morning.
I love it.
It's real cramped in there, but I enjoy it out from time to time. No, it's really fun. Everydaycheapskate.com. That's a way that we can stay in touch every single day of the week.
Good. Well, and that's, of course, in the columns, you give all sorts of wonderful advice about, you know, products that work well. So, Dorothy just called, and Crystal, and she said, a long time ago, you gave the name of a product that you could spray musty smells and where you can get it. What's the name of that product?
Yes. The product is called Knockout, and let me spell it because it's not what you think. It's N-O-K hyphen O-U-T, Knockout. And you can go to knockout.com without the hyphen, just knockout.com. That's where you can get this product. You won't find it in Walmart or Target. It's a very, very fantastic, well, go to Everyday Cheapskate and just search Knockout on my site there, and you'll learn all about it. But that's what it is, Knockout.
Great stuff. I've become a fan. Thanks to you, Mary, on that. All right. So, anonymous listener wants to know, looking about maybe finding some ways to get some more income. I guess maybe, first of all, is that a good idea if we're trying to get our financial house in order? Is it just earning more money, or is that the first step, or should we look at, you know, saving first? But then you can respond. She's wanting how to get her own cleaning business started.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of questions here, but let me tell you that if you need more money in your life, earning more money is probably not the best way to do that. It's going to take a while to see any money. You earn more money and your taxes go up. So you earn more money, you've got more work-related expenses. The very, very best way to get more money into your life is to cut expenses. Stop spending so much money on food. Stop eating out in restaurants. Cook at home. When you go to the grocery store, limit yourself. Give yourself a budget. Because here's the principle. If you normally spend $150 a week at the grocery store, and I can teach you how to get that down to $100, still buying nutritious food, feeding your family well, having enough food so you're not eating out, you've got $50 in your pocket when you walk out the door. Immediate. It's already been taxed. You don't have to work for it, wait for it, anything like that. That, to me, is the most brilliant way to change your financial picture, is to start cutting expenses. And that's what Everyday Cheapskate is all about, how to save time and money every day. And I've been doing that column, can you believe it, Neil, for 13 years.
Mm.
13 years. 5 days a week I've been writing this, so you can see we may have a very large archive of information there.
Just what you need. So I'm sure you do get questions about, you know, home-based businesses, and of which you are certainly familiar, but any advice on
absolutely.
Things like that?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, that kind of a business, cleaning homes, is excellent because there's not any upfront, well, there might be some equipment and supplies, but upfront capital that you need to put in. So I would encourage someone who can do that work and knows how, get started. Put your card out there. Let people know that you are ready to do that. I would just caution about going into debt to do it. You know, no SBA loans, no bank loans, no thinking I've got to put $5,000 on my credit card to buy a real spiffy vacuum cleaner. Do it with the things that you have already, and then only buy as you're able to pay with cash. I think that would be a fantastic. In fact, I wish she lived close to me. I'd be her first client.
That, you know, there. Although I'm sure with all the good products you have in your home that there's really no cleaning that needs to be done, right? It's just perfect all the time.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to clean much. The house kind of cleans itself. Haven't I taught you that one yet?
I don't think so. Hey, we talked a little bit about, you know, just, you know, cutting back and eating out, the saving money. I mean, there's food is a big item in our budgets, and that's one of those, you know, variables where we could actually save some money if we change things around a little bit. Any top tips on better food, less money?
Yeah, first of all, that eating out thing, that is what's killing the American families. And I'm talking about everything from Starbucks in the morning to a donut to the vending machine to eating out at lunch, a business lunch, you know, the snacks on the way home, the driving through, the drive-thrus, the diners and the restaurants. It is unbelievable. If you just track, you know, I want to challenge the listeners to do that. Keep track of what you're spending on food, every single way, even the pet food, everything. You're going to see it could exceed your house payment every month. And I'm not being facetious here at all. That's absolutely true. So the first thing is to make a rule for yourselves. You're going to have to be really stern with yourself. You only pay cash when you eat out. That changes everything right there. Because most people are using their debit card and their credit card, swiping their way through the day, eating unbelievable amounts of food when you count every person in the family. The next thing is go on a cash situation at the grocery store. Determine, you know, if you can't go cold turkey, say we're going to eat out only one time a week, one time, and it's going to be cash, and we're going to decide ahead of time where it's going to be our favorite place. It's not going to be something just, you know, haphazard that we don't even like. And then the rest of the time, we are actually going to eat at home. Come to my Everyday Cheapskate site. Let me help you. There are so many motivators, and the best thing is for you to become a great cook, because that will keep you out of every restaurant in the world, because you cook so much better than they can possibly feed you. That's when you know that you really hit it. Oh, yes, we can eat at home and enjoy it so much more than eating out. You know, always, this is a rule. Never pay full price for anything in the grocery store. There is something on sale in every single area of a supermarket every single week, and it varies. So what's on sale this week will be different. So if you are bent on buying only what's on sale, that means you're going to buy produce that's in season, because that's the cheapest. It's on sale. You're going to buy only meat, poultry, and fish that's on sale. You're going to load up when it's really a super sale. So next week, when it's not on sale, you will still have peanut butter or whatever. There are grocery shopping tips that you really can cut your bill in half without any problem at all. If you will just stop making a list before you go of stuff that sounds good. Instead, make your list of what's on sale. You'll find that in the store's weekly flyer, and you can find it online. All supermarkets are online now and show you what's on sale. So build your week's food around what's on sale. It's going to change everything.
Wow. We just got a few minutes left. Scott called in. He owns a restaurant, and he said, wondering if there's, can you do things like, supporting bargains at restaurants, like Kids Eat Free Tuesdays or things? And I mean, I know you're a big fan of coupons and things anyway, right?
Absolutely. You know, we just found a place here by our house. We rarely go out, but decided last night we were out, and so we stopped at this place and discovered that Wednesday is their 50-cent hamburger night, which means you can buy any burger on their whole menu and get the second one for 50 cents, the whole meal. Oh, wow, fantastic. You know, we're going back there on Wednesday. And what I believe, I think Scott would probably say yes, I bet this restaurant is noticing that Wednesday is their slow traffic night. They're trying to build traffic, get people in there on Wednesday. So I know that. They're doing this to get me in and to buy dessert and to buy an extra side and to buy another soda and all that kind of thing. But it's up to me what I order. But that's a great, great bargain. And I don't want to put restaurants out of business. And that's not my point at all. My mission in life and what I think God has really asked me to do is to help people learn to manage well the money and the resources that come through their life. And, you know, eating out is part of our fabric of our lives in this country, but certainly not every single day of our lives, and that becomes foolish. So we've got to find a balance, and for some people who are deeply in debt, you're not going to eat out for a while. Scott, I'm really sorry. You'll see them later when they're managing their money well, but, you know, we just have to face facts, and it's going to require a little sacrifice on the front end.
We have so much joy that when we accomplish some of those financial goals, though, there's nothing like it, right? I mean, you get 30 seconds, but I know you experienced life like never before, right? Getting out of debt, what a joy that was!
Oh my goodness! And having paid off our home 3 years ago, we have absolutely no mortgage. I got to tell you, Neil, that has been a blessing from God that I had never anticipated. I mean, I knew it would be great not to have to pay that bill every month, but I did not realize what this would open in our lives, how we can help others, how we are more free to enjoy and to the blessings that God has given to us. Sometimes, you know, they're in a shadow because there are so many tremendous challenges that we face. But as that has gone away, it has been fantastic. And I just want to encourage anyone with, no matter your situation, there's always hope. There is always a way out. If you're willing to surrender to do the right thing, we can do that. And I'd love to take that journey with you. You know where I am at everydaycheapskate.com. Also, debtproofliving.com. You can find all my contact information there.
Check it out, everydaycheapskate.com. We love Mary Hunt. Love talking with her. Blessings to you, Mary. So thankful to have you on the show today. You're listening to Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show, you can always catch it online. We post the podcast at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.